Hello, and welcome to Required Reading, the podcast that revisits the most impactful books from our childhood. I'm Erin Bowles. I am a writer, actor, and I have a kitten with me. So you're welcome. Our guest today is Justin Crosby. He's a self-proclaimed writer who never writes but loves to read. When he isn't trying to find more books about depressed Victorian teens to read, he co-hosts the podcast Flop Soup with former guest of the pod, Cassandra Curiasis. Hello.
Hi, oh my gosh, thank you for having me. So excited to get into this just depressive, gloomy, like vaguely London, but like truly could be anywhere in the world vibe that Lemony Snicket has curated for us.
It is such a vibe. It like there's no other really way to describe it. Today we're doing a series of unfortunate events, The Bad Beginning by Lemony Snicket, who's also known as Daniel Handler, which is sadly like
Yes.
the most generic name in the world.
Yeah.
And illustrated by Brett Hellquist, who I knew mostly from a different series of books that he illustrated called Chasing Vermeer.
Oh,
And
interesting.
it was very like National Treasure art history, which was a
Yeah.
trilogy, and I really loved that.
That's so
But
cool. The illustrations kind of gave me like I don't know if you're familiar with like Spiderwick Chronicles, like those like
I never
it's
read
like
them, but yes, I know
yeah,
what, yeah.
it feels very like fairy tale, like this type of like steampunk-esque type of style, but not like they're just kind
Yeah.
of people like in some random area. And yeah, and then yeah, Daniel Handler, kind of just like a random ass guy, who was like, I need a kind of posh vibe for my book, so I'm going to go by this name.
It's so interesting. I mean, we'll begin at the beginning. How did this book come into your life? What's your story with it?
Yeah, so I know it was published in 1999, and it started doing like audiobooks in 2003, and they were narrated by Tim Curry, who did a fantastic job. Like, such a. And I didn't even put the pieces together because my first exposure to it was my mom would play them in the car to Catholic school in like 2003. And so
Right.
I don't remember picking them out. She just kind of was like, here you go. We read a lot of books together. Like she would read Harry Potter to me as I was kind of like getting my bearings and like reading big books and stuff. Part of that would also be like in car rides, we would be like listening to it on audiobook, and it was just fantastic. Like I just remember the voices he would do, and like it was just a really like great experience. And it also, I'm like half Jewish, so on my mom's side I'm Jewish, and I feel like culturally very Jewish despite having gone to Catholic school and just like gone through the motions of Catholic school for a couple years, like from like grades 1 to 3. But I was rereading a little bit about how Daniel Handler like talks about the Baudelaire kids now and stuff like that. And he kind of calls them, he says that they're Jewish. Like, and it's one of those like Dumbledore's gay, the Baudelaire
Yeah.
kids are Jewish. And you're like, okay, I guess it never really comes up in the book, but sure, if that's how you think about it. And I was like, oh, like my mom and I like having this like Jewish experience on the way to Catholic school, like kind of maintaining my like Jewish culture in a way, because it is like he says, I think there is something naturally Jewish about unending misery. And I was like, honestly, true. Like, honestly, that's right. So, yeah, it's always like, the worst is probably gonna happen is like my mom's vibe and also my vibe sometimes. So it felt like a natural fit.
I love that. Yeah,
Yeah.
I hadn't seen that. I saw that he doesn't like work to keep himself really secret, I think. Like at
No,
least now that it's been
not at
like
all.
maybe it's been at least 25 years, 25 years this year since the first book came out. He seems like just like a really white bread kind of guy, you know?
Yeah, like he was just like, you know, I feel a little Victorian today. I'm gonna just kind of be Lemony Snicket, create this little world, this like universe. Oh my God, hi, cat.
My kitten's fully.
She, like, so cute too, like the perfect kitten in front of me. It's great that we have a black cat here as well,
Oh,
for
yes.
ambiance and vibes.
Yeah, she doesn't have a name yet. Our other cat is named Texas Toast, and so that's a big legacy to live up to.
Yeah. How did Texas Toast happen?
So he was a street cat. We lived in South LA, and there were just like our house's yard was like, it's like the meeting place for all the cats in the neighborhood. It was just so rich. And Tex just never left. And we had a little like cat flap in the window. And my boyfriend has like the driest sense of humor in the world. And so every time Tex would come through the cat flap, he would just say a random name.
Oh, there's
And
that.
yeah, it really was like, there's paperclip. Here's spray bottle has arrived. And so Texas was the one that stuck. And I'm pulling for this one to be named Chip Witch, but it doesn't feel
Love
quite
that.
right for her.
Well, you can try things on. It's like my dog's name is Caesar, and so it's one of those things like the name evolves off of that. But if you don't have a name, then it's like, I guess we can just kind of interchangeable objects for you. It could be.
The name
But
that
she's
came
so
with
cute.
her is Bear, which I like, but I don't know. She's just so funny. She's
She's so compact and like kittenish. I love it.
I read at least the first book when I was young. The movie with Jim Carrey came out December 2004, so I was freshly seven. I was in second grade. I looked it up.
7 in 2004. What a time.
I went to the Little Free Library. There's so many in my neighborhood. Weeks ago, I think you had just messaged me saying, let's do Secret of Unfortunate Events. And I found the first three all in one library. Like,
Nice. And those are the ones that were brought into the movie, kind of. Like, that's like the package, of like the strongest intro.
I read the first one then, and I read it now, and I was listening to the Tim Curry audiobook for the second one, just until 20 minutes ago. I love that it's Tim Curry.
Yeah, it's
Like,
perfect. He's so freaking good at
perfect.
it. And like, he's not like queer, but like, he's just like beloved for like his role as like Dr.
He's like,
Frankenfurter. Like, it and neither are these books queer, but there is just like this sensibility that's kind of like camp and
definitely. It's Night of the Living Dead. It's Rocky Horror. It's very Corpse Bride is the
Yes, Tim
Corpse Bride.
Burton, like that type of like spiral staircases and like metals and things and
And
stuff like
like
that.
ravens everywhere and
Ravens everywhere, yeah. Omens.
I don't know why this sort of like didn't stick for me as a kid. It was like I read it, it was there, it was in the zeitgeist. But I guess I just never like got into it after this one. Which
I
is
feel like I feel this similarly because like I remember the events up until the wide window where like their aunt, spoiler alert, I guess, like
25 years old,
they're
go
living
for
on
it.
a lake, like there's leeches in the lake, the aunt like falls in and stuff. I remember those like for sure. And then I feel like I fell off a little bit towards the end of the series and it got a little bit unwieldy with the plot. And I feel like they just never nailed like they never franchised it. Like, they never fully stuck the landing with, like, and here's the movie, and like, it's good and it nails the source content, and it's a good movie in itself that draws in new people. Like, they never fully nailed that. And I mean, we had the recent, like, Netflix series that I never even engaged with because I was like, Neil Patrick Harris is not my Count Olaf.
Which is what I was thinking about that earlier today. What a, like, I hope he's a very nice person. I don't know him. What a terrible casting.
So like uninspired, like such like Netflix just wanting to like establish a relationship with Neil Patrick Harris for some reason and being like, sure, like why not do this? Or he's like, I should pivot into like kids stuff. I don't know.
He's always playing himself, and for a role that is so explicitly about being a master of disguise
Yes, like
and
Count Olaf is
persona.
a poor actor who is trying to grift, and you need to be spindly and creepy and like limbs and I don't know, like it just it didn't, that whole thing I was like, I'm not engaging. I felt like the movie, even though it was bad, I mean as a kid it's like what's bad, like I don't know, but even the movie at least I feel like the casting for that was a little bit more on point. Like Jim Carrey can do that. I was thinking about like who should play Count Olaf before this, and I really was just coming to a loss of like spindly actors. I don't know
No,
why I kept thinking
yeah.
like Gary Busey, but like that's
It's
so wrong. That's so wrong. Like it's so not. Jim
like
Carrey's
Tim.
closer.
Yeah, and it was 2004, so he had just done Grinch, which was so huge.
And Grinch is so Count Olaf, like in a
Yeah.
sense, where it's like I'm raining on the parade of these kids. Like I'm, yeah, totally.
And it has that physicality. That's something great about like the poster is he's got that like pose. I think
Yes.
Emily Browning is like the definitive Violet in my mind, as like
Me too.
somebody who like doesn't
Yes.
even have very strong opinions about this, but there it's her.
Emily Browning is by yeah, I completely. And then I was looking a little bit at like what they ended up doing for the casting of the Netflix show, and like the Violet they cast in that, they just look like, I don't know. There's just something that's like lacking in like the spookiness and the like gothicness. Like it is like a suburban gothic series, and the kids just seemed so like Sunny Baudelaire, like Sunny Bright, like just I don't know. It didn't fit for me.
And like, what is it? They seemed to, this is so mean to these children. They seem so like
We're like dragging
pedestrian.
from the jump. You're out. No, but that's so like Netflix though. And I feel like I was thinking about this too. I was like, I wish some other type of production, not that Netflix like produces everything, but like not that HBO would immediately make it like prestige-y, but I was just like, I wish that there was like more care done to like handling the aesthetic or like really nailing that in the way that like I feel like the movie was closer, even though it was a little bit like costumey still. I feel like it is okay to be costumey, but whatever. Like Poor Things. Like, let's get like Yorgos. No, I'm just kidding. Like, he would
No, you said
never.
that HBO makes sense. I was thinking like Tim Curry like doesn't fit the spindliness of Count Olaf, but it like in the camp, Tim Burton like feels right. Although the movie was nominated for four Oscars and won one.
What for like makeup or something?
Best makeup.
Okay, there you go.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
And
they
I think
nailed
the
the
others
eyebrows,
were
I'm
like
sure.
original score,
Okay.
costumes, and maybe set design
Wow, this
was
was
the last
before I was
one.
so engaged in like awards culture. Like now I would be on that, but wow, I had no idea it like rose to that level. That's
Yeah.
amazing.
And I'm like, good for them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was especially like something seeing the trailers for the Netflix version. I was like, this just looks the makeup
Boo-boo.
alone.
No, it's like Candyland. It's no way. I was even thinking like Guillermo del Toro, like a little bit like could have done, at least when it comes to like makeup and like the world building of like The Shape of Water and like that type of thing. Like you just want darkness, but like there is a hope, there is a light, and it's yeah, I don't know. Monsters for kids.
I'm just thinking Adrian Brody has like
Oh
the
my
body type.
God. Yeah.
That's what I'm gonna say.
That's what I'll say on record. Adrian Brody has the body type. Yeah.
pledging
Pledge.
to
Hi. Oh, she's so
it.
chill with you. She's like, whatever.
She really is. I was worried she wasn't gonna get along with our guy, but she's gonna stay no matter what.
Right. It's like shape
Does
up or ship out. Like, or
exactly.
everyone just shapes up. Yeah. Oh, baby. Yeah.
Something also that stopped me from getting into it is like, I know there's like, I was looking into it. I didn't look up the plot of the entire series, but there's like secret societies and there's like
Yes.
Lemony Snicket has a story. And I was like, that all sounds great. It seems like it's going to take me a long time. 13 books. I don't have the patience for that.
For
I
sure.
think that's
And
what, yeah.
the beautiful thing is like if you're really just like hyper fixating on them, like you can't. Like they are so short and they go by so quickly and there's so many illustrations that it's like if you're ever fixing to like remember that series, what was that? Like because sometimes I do this, I don't know if you've ever played like video games, but like sometimes I'm like Kingdom Hearts, like I want to try that again, or like just these little things that from childhood where you just want to engage in the nostalgia. Like this is an easy access one where you can just like, even reading the first one, I was very like, oh my God, like I'm feeling the frustrations with Poe. I'm feeling like anger that these kids are not being like seen when the evil is so clear. Like it's just with 13, that's a tough number. But he was also like, of course I have to do 13 books
The
because
spookiest
13, you
number,
know, like hello. It did kind of make me think like maybe I will check out that Netflix series just because I'm like a little fixated on it a little bit. I'm like, oh, I want to see what ends up
No, I'm the
happening and
same
stuff.
way. I'm gonna listen to all of these audiobooks.
Yeah. And you'll see too, like the first, I think like six follow a very similar format of like they go to a new guardian. And you'll see this one is kind of the prototype of all of that. They go to a new guardian and it's Count Olaf. And in the future ones, it's other relatives of theirs. And then ultimately they break from that mold and then secret societies enter. They're going to different locations. All of them have like alliteration involved. And it's just a really like campy time. But for this one, I guess like quick plot summary I can do
Yes, would be
is
great.
it starts off the three kids, they're hanging out on the beach. And there it's foggy, Violet's like skipping rocks, like they're all being so like inner world, you know, they're all so like my complex inner world. I file this under
That's
like
the
complex.
queerness of it.
Exactly. It's like it's that SNL skit like Wells for Boys, or like it's complex media for brunettes, you know, it's that type of thing. And so they're hanging out on the beach, it's foggy, and then this guy, Mr. Poe, of course, like, you know, nod to Edgar Allan Poe always. He comes up and he's like, "I'm sorry, kids, like your parents died in a fire. It burned down your family home. So sad." And they're like, "Oh no." And so then he's like, "Come with me." They stay with him for a little bit. And you get the lowdown on the situation, which is that they have this big fortune, but they can't access it until the oldest of them, Violet, turns 18, and she's 14 at the time of the books. The age comes into factor as well, because as you remember reading this book, there's some dicey stuff with like
Oh my
child bride,
gosh.
like what's happening. But basically, Mr. Poe, he's the executor of their will. So he is responsible for carrying out their wishes, which are that they want the kids to end up with a family member, and they just want it to be convenient. Like they want like whatever is the least problems. So he's like, "Okay, you have this distant family member who lives around here. His name is Count Olaf." And they're like, "We've never heard of him." And he's like,
Sounds
"I promise
fake.
I'm related." It sounds fake, but okay. So they're like, "Fine, let's go." And he drops them off. And that's when you get kind of a sense of like how this book is going to go, because it's this fake out. Mr. Poe is driving the kids to Count Olaf's place, and they pull up in front of this house that looks so beautiful. There's a garden, like it's so welcoming and inviting. And then he's like, "Oh, JK, it's not that one. It's the one next door," which is like this dilapidated, like tower mansion thing, and that has like an eye in the door. And the house next door that's really nice belongs to this lady, Justice Strauss, and the dilapidated house belongs to Count Olaf, who is evil. And yeah, that's kind of like the setup. And then they enter, and unfortunate events ensue, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. What was interesting to me, they are so short, and which is not a criticism at all. They're like they're perfect children's
They get down to
bites.
business. Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
But I think it was interesting to me that the like ongoing, issue is that every time, from my understanding, every time they go somewhere new, there's Count Olaf and he's back and
Yeah.
he's always going to be there. And that's not introduced until the second book,
Yeah. Yeah. You don't see that he's like taking on all these disguises, which is like so his thing, because he's like an actor with a theater troupe that is also full of nefarious characters that just follows him around. But yeah, that's like his thing, is like, "I'm putting on disguises, I'm trickery." He's using anagrams to like hide himself. But that's kind of the theme of the whole thing, is that it's like these kids are sort of free thinkers, because they're children. And the adults in the world, and Count Olaf is the absolute evil, but in between is this gray area of adults who like can't see what's so clear. And especially in this first book, which really highlights it, because Olaf is like treating them like unpaid interns. He's like, "Cook dinner." You'll remember the puttanesca sauce is like a huge deal.
I told my boyfriend, like, oh, I started reading the first book today, and he goes, oh,
Puttanesca. Yeah, I was
Puttanesca.
so. And as a kid, I'm like, I don't even know what that is. But I was like, "Oh, it's just like the sauce that you put on the spaghetti." Okay, got it. And honestly, looking back, I'm like, okay, well, to set up this, one of the chores that he assigns the kids is like, "My theater troupe, we're doing a performance. Like, we're gonna be really hungry. Like, cook dinner for us." And the kids are like, "We're 14, 12, and like 1 year old. Like, we don't know how to cook anything." So they go over to Justice Strauss's place, and they like go into her huge library of books, which is so beautiful, and they read up
And I
how
think
to
their parents
cook.
had a big
Yes,
library.
yes. And that kind of is what allowed them to kind of be broken up into their three groupings, which is that like Violet is the inventor, Klaus is the reader, and Sunny is the biter. And so
Sunny's
Sunny's
the
like the
muscle.
brawn. Yeah, she like gets it done. And Violet's kind of like, yeah, she's like, I'm gonna tie my hair up in this glamorous ribbon and figure shit out. It's very like, put your hair up in a bun and handle it.
Which is like such from a writing standpoint, like a detail that I have remembered just from like since
Yes.
2004. What,
Yeah.
like, to me, even though I was like only barely touched this franchise, that has stayed with me. But like, here, this is how
Yes,
you
the
write. And
ribbon.
it's so on it. It's such a good introduction. And also reading at this time, I'm like, damn, woman in STEM. Okay, here we
Okay,
go.
exactly. Yeah, like put your hair in a bun and handle it. You know, it's like that is the life. And but yeah, he gave them really great just like tropes that they can operate with through the rest of the series. And you can always like fall back on that as like a when you're telling this story, especially when it branches out and gets more like unwieldy. It's like, well, we know Klaus is the one who reads, and then Violet puts it into the physical world, and then Sunny is, you know, speaking truth to power, but also like biting things and handling it. Yeah.
Does Sunny by the end? And I have you read
I
all the
forget.
books?
I have read them all. I do forget what ends up happening with Sunny's like language capability.
Yes. And you knew exactly what I was
No,
saying.
totally. No, it's like, does she speak? But that's like kind of the running joke is that like she'll say like Baba, and then they're like, what Sunny means by this is that she doesn't trust this person and thinks that that's Count Olaf, but like no one understands. That's, and again, that's like the theme is that it's like these kids are like, look, like there's Count Olaf, and the adults are like, where? I don't see Count Olaf. I see someone who is your caretaker, who has your best interest at heart. It's like this constant like navigation of like mob mentality almost, and like groupthink. Like you see that you it's kind of going against this idea that like as you get older you get wiser in effect. Like he's saying that as you get older you are more susceptible to like politeness and like these types of norms that allow Count Olaf to manipulate situations and exploit these kids essentially. Yeah, but yeah, we'll ultimately get to his big plan. But in this book, like they're going to Justice Strauss's place, which is like this haven of books. They learn how to make this pasta sauce for Count Olaf's troop, and they make it, and Count Olaf is like, fuck this, I wanted roast beef. And they're like, how were we supposed to know that? Like, I'm not a mind reader.
Gaslighting.
Gaslight, gatekeep, like it's awful. And they're just like, fuck you. And then he like, but then it's like he literally slaps Klaus, and where it's like, okay, not good caretaker. Like at first it was like, okay, you're
Annoying.
mean, annoying, but then it's like you're getting physical. It's time to like end this relationship. So they go to Mr. Poe, and this is like also a theme is that they go to Poe, and Poe is like, well, you know, I can't really do anything for you here. Sorry. And so then the situation gets worse. Then that's kind of like the middle events of the book is like they're suffering, unfortunate events ensue. Yeah.
Which is something it feels like incorrect to describe it as meta, and maybe that's more just like maybe there were a few like years in the early 2010s where like meta was a phrase used constantly and like in
Yes.
a derogatory way.
Right. And now it's like the name of Facebook.
Exactly.
You're like, okay.
I'm suddenly being like, how much did the show Community inform what I thought everyone was talking about?
Right.
Interesting.
No, totally. And that was like the show. So, yeah.
Oh my God. But Lemony Snicket, the narrator, is an invented entity, which also is partly Patrick Warburton plays him in the show. I like that they
Oh, yeah.
have him physically in the show. Like, I think
Yeah.
that's really bringing an additional thing from the books, like into the show. I
Yeah.
hate that he is played by Kronk. There's no way.
I know.
Those just can't.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
I don't think that's what the author was going for when he was like conjuring up this character of Lemony Snicket. Yeah. It was total just like Netflix.
Just
Just
like
doing
Mad
shit.
Libsing.
Yeah, just figuring it out. Yeah, it's so that show. Yeah. But I'm glad that they at least made it through three seasons and they could like
That's
tell the story, but
true.
it's like at what cost?
But I really loved, that story on a story kind of aspect of these books.
It's
There is
true
an
crime, kind
unknown.
of like
Exactly.
where he's like, I'm going through
Exactly.
these files, like, I'm just telling the events of what I've heard. And he also has these like four four
Yeah, the
words
dedications.
to Beatrice that evolve throughout the series, and then ultimately at the end you like find out blah blah blah. No spoilers. You gotta
No,
read
that's the thing. I'm like, no, just tell me who Beatrice is. And then I'm also
that.
like, your desire to know, that's an indication you should read the books.
Totally, totally. And it is one of those things where once it's revealed, it's like, okay, is that as cool as what I was picturing in my head? I don't know, but work. Good for you.
Yeah, but it has this like I think something that I've seen in like we did the Dragonology book
Oh my
of the
God, obsessed with those. Egyptology, magicology, wizard or wizardology. Yeah, they were everything.
I think that book and this have a very similar feel of like this is a found less of a
Yes.
book and more of like a document.
Yes.
You've tapped into something, and I think that pairs so well with this repeated theme of not being believed, which is
Yeah.
so of childhood, is I feel something, I know something, and then everyone tells me it's false.
Totally. And then it's like you're a child, you don't have your world experience. But in effect, it's like, aren't children the ones who, you know, see the world most clearly for what it is? I believe the children are our future. Like, you know, teach them. Yeah. So it's ultimately like, I think that's also why I gravitated towards it, was because it was a book for kids that doesn't treat kids like idiots. It like treats the reader seriously in the same way as you're saying, it's like found document. Like it's treating the children in the book itself seriously too, where it's like they're the smartest of everyone and they can see things as clearly as possible. It's a good like outlook for young readers.
And the material is so dark. It's
Yes,
like
there's like death. Well, and that's what's interesting. I was thinking about this too. Like it reminds me of how like Disney movies like kill the parent immediately, or even like Harry Potter too, where it's like parents are dead, what now? But in this, it's like, oh, the parents are dead, but that's such a gift because they went on this like amazing journey. And that's the Disney perspective. Whereas unfortunate events, it's like, no, it's like so sad that their parents are dead. And imagine if their parents were still alive, their lives would be so much better, you know? Like it's navigating around like lies we tell ourselves to feel okay. It's like actually we need to see things for what they are sometimes, which is that your parents are dead and that's really bad. And it actually did make your life harder, you know? Like, and that's real.
It deals with such dark stuff because it's not like other horror where it's like in Tim Burton, it's like, oh, well, there's a ghost and a skeleton and things like that. Of like, this is horror based and like, what if the people who are supposed to be taking care of us fall? Like,
Yeah.
it is horror because it is so real.
Yeah.
Because like I think like Harry Potter gets to really wrestle sort of sometimes with the emotional impact of losing that. And I think like, yeah, he is an aunt and uncle that are crummy. This is like with this book, not only is it this random Olaf, it's like a systemic thing
Totally.
of like the people who are supposed to mediate between me and this stranger are not listening to me, and they're just as incompetent, and that like adults have an ability, like with Justice Strauss in this book, to sort of vouch for each other to not think harder. And if
Yeah.
an adult says it, I just automatically know that they have given it the right amount of thought.
And in books like Harry Potter, there are magical solutions to real problems. Whereas in these, you have to think of, like thinking of practical solutions to real ass problems. Like they're, and it's cool to see them be so industrious, so like, every book emphasizes like how unlucky the kids are, but it's also like they make their own luck, kind of. They like, in a way, like it's like insane that you were able to build a grappling hook that allowed you to like climb the tower. Like that's so lucky that like everything worked out. But it's like, no, you actually, through your own abilities as like a person, like you were able to do that for yourself, which is like a good message ultimately, because it's like, would I survive the events of Harry Potter? No. But it's like in this, I'm like, well, I could maybe read a book and that might help me. Like, you know.
It's exactly what you're saying. Like Harry Potter gets a magical way out, and Violet sits down and is like, okay, how do I myself start inventing things? How, like,
Literally how.
they, yeah, there's a degree of like, you have to solve your own problems, and let's get to step one. Like, let's pull out some paper, let's do
Let's
our
go.
research.
I think where the book gets a little weird is when Olaf reveals his plan, which again carries throughout all the books, is that he wants to steal the fortune. He's an actor. We don't pay actors, so they They go to these lengths. So his scheme that he reveals to them, well, he doesn't really reveal it. They have to figure it out. But he's essentially saying, I'm putting on a play and I want you all to be in it. I want Violet to be in it. It's called The Marvelous Marriage. And what's going to happen is I play the groom and Violet, this 14-year-old, plays the bride. And what's going to happen is at the end, like, we get married. And they're like, that's weird. Violet's like, I'd rather be a stagehand because I'm so, I love working with my hands, like, blah, blah, blah. And he's
Always.
like, no, you're going to act. And she's like, I'm not an actress, whatever. So then they kind of like go back to Justice Strauss's. They're doing a lot of investigation on like there's pages of them reading about inheritance law and stuff. And stuff that was cut out of the movie is like how much time and energy they spent into like developing their solution to the problem. But in the book, they're very like, no, like Violet was reading, like, how do I solve this problem? Klaus is like, all these legal documents, like, but I gotta read them to figure out the solution. And so they kind of put together that because Justice Strauss, who is a judge or some
I
kind, I
think
guess, yeah, a
so.
judge, yeah.
High-ranking legal.
High-ranking legal person in the community. They keep referring to like the community. And Justice Strauss is playing the like officiant of the wedding. They're essentially saying Count Olaf is going to like actually marry Violet in the events of the play because Justice Strauss just has to be there and sign over it, and then Violet has to sign it with
In her
her
own
ha in her
hand.
own hand. Thank you so much. That is the phrase that like matters the most. So she has to sign this document that says like, oh, I marry you, I do, in front of Justice Strauss and in her own hand. And that will legally marry her to Count Olaf. And then he's an inheritant of the fortune. They realize this and they're like, oh no, like, how do we stop this? And that's like the next series of events, which introduces these weird things where it's like, okay, Count Olaf is like probably like 45. Violet is 14.
14.
Not cool, very obvious evil doing, like very like weird stuff to have like kids reading about too, but it is also framed as something that's like bad and that a villain does. So
Yes, they
okay.
are explicit
Like,
about that. But I
yeah.
think it is like they're in Harry Potter, the bad guy is like trying to do something very, very broad, I guess.
Yeah.
He has like world plans.
That was Voldemort's big error, was he was too broad strokes with his
He was
plan.
too about the ideology of it, and he needed to be about the money of it.
Needed a project manager on
Exactly.
staff. Yeah.
We focus. That's the did. Oh my God. What did Voldemort want? It did.
What did he want? Why did we do
So
all
here we
that?
are on a new podcast. But no, I am like,
He wants to like be the king of wizards, right? Like, or he also is very Hitler-coded in that he's like mudblood should die.
It is that like the scariest things in this book are the realist. The
Right. Male manipulators. Like actors. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, that was the
Theater
thing of like
troops, actually.
I remember Count Olaf, from
Yeah.
this. I remember Jim Carrey and Neil Patrick Harris of it. And that character seems so obviously sinister, but goofy, like larger than life, easy
Yeah.
to like
On the cover of the book, too,
dismiss.
he's very like,
Exactly.
what is
He
my evil plan?
literally, yeah, and
Yeah.
he's got these crazy coattails and striped pants, like he's a circus tent. And yet the like actual crimes are so real. It is
Right. It's
physical
like
abuse. It is,
abuse.
yeah, it is so like they are threatening to drop their sister out of a high window, the babiest
Literally.
of them. Yeah. It's so real. And I think that was something I really forgot about it. Maybe even because it's very like not overplayed, but so re-emphasized again and again. Like in the
Yeah.
text of the book, they're like, don't read this book. It's a bummer. Like it's unless you're ready for this bummer,
Yeah.
it's gonna be bad. And I don't like maybe that was a turnoff when I was young. I don't know. Because I think I was very much like I have had depression my whole life. I was like, yeah, life is suffering.
Yeah, like there's so many
Like,
kids that are like, "Oh, you told me not to read this. I'm gonna read that." Like
yeah.
that's the psychology. But I do think that like at a certain point, like the jig or like the format of these books does feel a little bit like, okay, like we do need them to win at some point. Like that's because at this point it's unbelievable how much they how every good thing that happens to them is quickly upended by something awful.
Yeah.
But you know, such is life.
I mean, such is life. It
Such is
does,
life.
like, where does it stop being the Baudelaire kids and start being Charlie Brown? You know? There's a spectrum there, which I was surprised, 13 books, they came out over a period of like maybe 7 years total. They were very quickly done. So I think there wasn't, I think like he got away with it in the time period because those books were coming out so fast that like the kids didn't age out of it just yet, you
True,
know?
yeah. Like Sunny is still infant and you know, all of that, and still, and the people who picked them up to read them or picked them up to listen to the audiobook were still in that age group, and you could kind of get through them all. I'm sure he wrote them all just out and was like, we'll just publish them in spurts, and you know,
Yeah, I do
yeah.
wonder like how much of it was like comparing to like what J.K. Rowling claims she did. Did he sit out and have the entire
On a
the
napkin in a
yeah.
train
What
trolley.
did he come
Yeah.
fully birthed
Right. Yeah.
on the moment
I
of arrival?
always wonder that. I mean, as someone who's like tried to sit down and like write a novel, it's just, you always think like there's no way you had the whole thing, you know, like it, but with this, yeah, because it does get unwieldy at the end of the series, it is a little bit more believable that like he was phoning it in a little bit maybe at the end or something like that. But for this book though, like I do remember the twist gagging me, and it gagged me again this time, even though I saw it coming. I saw it coming from a little bit closer, from further away this time.
Would the twist be how she gets out of the contract?
Yes.
Yes.
So essentially, what she does is like they have the wedding on the stage as part of the act, and to get out of it, because again, you have to sign the marriage document in your own hand. What she does is she signs it with her left hand, which, according to the law in this world, that doesn't count. So she signs it, and then Count Olaf is like, "Mwahaha, like I have foiled you." And
He
like,
turns
I
to the
am,
audience.
yes, literally, he's like, it's very like classic bad guy. Like, here was my plan this whole time before I actually fully get away with it, before the funds have been deposited in my account. And then she's like, well, actually, no. So you kind of revealed yourself, and also you don't get anything because I signed it with my left hand. And so boom. It
Have I never said this phrase before? It does gag.
gags. It's a gag at the end. Like you know everyone in the audience was gagged.
A night I'll never forget.
A night they'll never forget at the cinema, at the local theater where this theater troupe is booked and busy, apparently.
Have to wonder, like, I really like this like town they're building it sort of out. It's interesting like that they have such a big family and yet they're all kind of in the same area. I don't know, like, because I definitely had, this is something I wanted to ask you about. Did your parents talk to you about like if we die, where do you go?
Oh, for
Because
sure.
that was a big topic of conversation in my family. Mainly just my dad was much older, so his parents are going to be dead pretty soon. And my mom was like, do not give her to my parents under no circumstances. She must go to my cousin. So under no circumstances.
The Baudelaire parents were probably like, well, we're never going to die. So, like, we'll just be like, toss them over to whoever is most convenient. And then, you know, these events ensue. For me, it was like, it changed a bit. It was very like, I had like godparents who were like my parents' besties. And I was like, okay, I guess that's fine. But I think the first was mostly like grandparents. And then, if that's not doable, then like the godparent besties. Which was like, you're gonna leave me with your friends? Like, that's crazy. But yeah, it's a different world now, I guess. But yeah, you plan for the worst, but then it's like all those plans go out the window at a certain point. I don't know. Like they didn't expect, like, yeah, house fire is gonna kill us both. Are you kidding? And then you're left in the
Pretty
hands of Mr.
odds.
Poe, who's like an idiot. Yeah.
Chronically ill. Yeah, that's
Chronically
some.
ill.
Tim Curry does the coughs.
Yes, he
Should
does.
he? Maybe not.
Maybe it's a little grating.
I think like, well, and that gives an effect. Who's the director on that? I have so many questions about that audiobooks have directors.
yeah, what does
That's
that
like,
look like day to day in the life?
But I also think it has to be different, like over a cassette through your mom's like car
Like,
speakers
yeah,
versus
like her
like
Suburban. Yeah.
earbuds. Yeah, very different.
Yeah.
Also, technology is advanced.
Totally. When the gag happens in the book, when she's like, uh-uh-uh, like you're not getting the fortune, this whole thing happens where the lights turn off, another gag. They have like full gags planned. And Count Olaf, like, and his troop, like, vanish and they run off. And you're like, okay, so this is how we're going to establish the events of the future books. And what happens is the lights come on, they're alone. Mr. Poe is like, well, there's no way we're going to leave you with Olaf. And they're like, can we stay with Justice Strauss? She's like, yes, like, come live with me in my lovely library. But then Mr. Poe is like, the will said, like, you have to be with relatives. That and it's like, I mean, it's another message, I guess. It's like
Yeah.
sometimes that's not the best thing. Like sometimes it's about
Yeah.
community and
And
not
I think,
necessarily about family.
I don't know if the book necessarily makes you wonder, what if this happens to me? But it certainly gives you an example of what if this happens to me,
Yeah.
which is so chilling. I don't know.
Totally.
There's
Yeah.
something about like Annie that doesn't make me that scared
For
to be an
sure.
orphan.
Yeah, yeah. But in this, it's like, oh, it really does get worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
It does not get better for the kids. And yeah, and you do just tend to think like, well, systems will help me, like adults will help me, and adults have my best interest at heart. Like the justice system has what's best for me in its heart. But that's not necessarily, that's so not true in this world. And our world as well, because they do imply that this is our world, but not. And they
Yeah.
have walkie-talkies, but it's also like so old school. I don't know, but it's a really interesting, like nihilistic type of like thing to introduce to kids. But at the same
Yeah.
time, kids can handle it. Like, you
Yeah.
know, yeah.
And I think like it's there is a degree of camp about it. Like I don't know exactly how to put my finger on like the style of it, but I think things that have a bolder style that
Yeah.
like that, I think that's why Tim Burton, who feels so similar,
Yeah.
succeeds, is because he has this really distinct style and that
Yeah.
stands out both for adults and for children. And I think that's something in kids respect, is do something
Yeah.
a little different. Yeah.
And I think what they were hoping for when it comes to the kid readers is that it's so outlandishly like depressing and bad, and like the worst case always happens, that us readers would think, no, this can't possibly happen to me because that's just like not how
Yeah.
life works. But at, you know, me, Jewish child, is like,
Yeah.
well, it can get worse, and it does. And, you know, but at the end of the day, like, I do consider it like a book that really was formative for me.
Yeah.
And like, and in when it comes to like my taste in books, like I like books that have like a dry sense of humor. I like books that have a little bit of like a more like realistic outlook on things. Like I try to get into like more like, I don't know, I always wanted YA with like a darker edge to it when I was
Yeah.
a teen. Like I always wanted something a little bit more like else. Like I was like pretending to read the Da Vinci Code in like third grade, which, and like not reading it at all, but being like, I'm so like immersed, but like not understanding what's going on.
Love that
But
you
yeah.
say the Da Vinci Code, because that was very like the Brett Helquist, the illustrator, the series I read that he illustrated was exactly, it wasn't National Treasure. The better way to describe it is Da Vinci
Da
Code for
Vinci
kids.
Code.
It
Yeah. Da
really
Vinci
is
Code for
exactly
kids.
that.
I wish I knew about that. Oh my
Oh my
God, that would have
God.
saved me.
It's called Chasing Vermeer.
Chasing Vermeer.
I'm like waiting for someone to view it on this podcast, but I also have been thinking about playing with form and being like, what if I invite someone else and they have to read the thing that I
I want
liked?
them to. Yeah. No,
Yes.
it's
You get
great.
to
Like a
do
book
that.
club type thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's something about this and that and Beetlejuice, and there's just like a
Beetlejuice. Oh
texture.
my God, say Beetlejuice. Yeah, that's there. It's a
Yeah.
cinematic universe of like media for depressed brunette kids. Like, it's just
Yeah, like it's like goth adjacent,
yeah.
for kids who are like, no, I like rainy days. I prefer rainy days.
Yeah, I'm just like here, like you kid, and this was so me on the like school ground, was like kids would be like, I'm gonna throw a ball back and forth, and I'm
Yeah.
like, good for you, but like
I'm
I
an
am gonna read
intellectual.
this. Yeah, I'm
Yeah.
so like, you know, where it's like you can be whatever and it doesn't matter, but I was so like reading my book instead, and
Yeah.
like
Just like
and
little
this book,
Klaus. Yeah.
yes, and yeah, exactly, because this book really is like the people who read are the ones who are able to like control their world more, and the ones who don't are like the awful adults who just kind of let the world like happen and don't
Yeah.
really do anything about it, and are honestly like more evil, because it's like the two evils, like people who do evil things and the people who see evil things
Let
happen
it
and don't do
happen.
anything about it. And that's like most of the adults in this book, so.
Yeah. They, I think I take from it a thing of like the things that make you unique are the things that save you, you know?
Yes. And that's again like another great like message to impart
Yeah.
to the child reader, aside from like this guy's marrying his alleged relative who is
Yeah. It
underage.
is like there is a degree of like look at the world around you.
Right.
It's one thing.
Right.
And
Yeah.
also like I feel like I need to like donate $5 to someone every time I mention the Wizard of Oz in the show. But it is
You
like
need a bucket.
so
You need like a little jar of like,
exactly.
yeah.
But I think one of the big messages of that book is you had the power within you all along. Like
Yep.
you had the shoes the whole time.
Yep.
And I think that is something that makes a lot of I think narrative's successful. It's I just rewatched Ella Enchanted, and that's the
Oh,
beautiful
yeah.
moment. She breaks her own curse. She could have done it all along.
Yep.
Of like we succeed because we had all that within us in the first place. It just needed a moment.
Exactly.
There's a lot of like pluck in this story, and I think the things that are successful with
Yeah.
kids.
And I think the other thing that I do enjoy about it is that there isn't some kind of romantic interest thrown in at
Yeah.
any point. It's really just like about them figuring it out. They just don't have time for all that. It is just they're not trying to like pair Violet up with some. There's no like alluring male who like fixes everything for her, which is a sleigh. So,
Yeah. It's sort of like we don't have time for that. Like,
right. It's very like this is what like hardship looks like, you
yes,
know. It's
it's
like I'm
like
not crushing on
it
some
is
guy.
very direct address. There's a lot of commentary on like how would this feel? This obviously sucks. This is really hard. It's all very like empathetic of like, you know, this was really bad and they should have a break, but nope. It's
Nope.
also just like I so clearly can see like an English teacher loving it because he has this way of writing that like once every few pages he'll put in a vocabulary word and he'll
Yep.
say, this is what that means, by the way. And keep talking. And I was like, that, yeah,
Yes.
amazing, amazing
Yes.
teaching.
Yes. And it is, it makes the books feel like the books that the kids are reading in
Yeah.
the story, where it's like, well, now I'm put in the position of Klaus, who they don't go into every book knowing everything. Like they are learning as they go, kind of,
Yeah.
but that knowledge is the thing that ends up saving them at the end. And so you're feeling like you're kind of like experiencing that with them too. You're kind of like on the same plane in a
Yeah,
way.
exactly. I hadn't thought of
Yeah.
it like that. And you're exactly right. The
Meta.
second book. In the
Yeah. It's so meta.
second book, it's the
I think it's the
reptile room.
python. Yeah, the reptile
Yeah,
room.
they have such a similar scene of like, okay, Klaus, go read all the books, go and we'll figure it out.
Message to take away to Count Olaf never wears socks. He is always showing them ankles. He's always trying to hide that little eye tattoo on his ankles, and it's just something that people should think about. And then who don't wear socks with shoes or wear no-show socks, just reconsider.
It is okay to
You
hide your
might,
ankles,
yes,
you
we
know?
don't need to see all that. Yeah.
It's,
Like,
I'm not saying you have to. That was a different time.
yeah,
But
but it's a
I'm not
moral
saying you
flaw.
don't have to, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know the explanation of the app.
Oh yeah. I forget if it is actually explained, but I was reading a little bit about like the third book, and like there is like a there is, there are these allusions to like Orwell and kind of like always being surveilled, and I'm sure that that's kind of like also something to do with like being a child and like feeling like alone in this world, but in actuality, like you are being seen, but it is just by like this all-knowing eye of Count Olaf, which is like bad. I don't know. It's just
Oh
like,
my gosh, I love that.
it's interesting, yeah, because he's very. I don't know if that's like the intent from the start is that he's always like with them. I mean, I guess that was like the formula he probably set out to do, but he is saying like, I'm always watching, like I
Yeah.
always am there, and he does throw Orwell in there at some
Yeah.
point, so. There's stuff to chew on if you want, you
There
know, like
really
it's
is. Absolutely.
yeah.
Because I did like somehow have this association in my mind that was a symbol attached to his theater group. And
Oh, yeah.
it being an ankle tattoo, I did often think of like, did he go like bar hopping with the girls one night after a show? And then we're like, let's get tattoos. Let's get a
Yes.
sassy
Oh
little
my
eye on
God.
our
We are
ankle.
so having the best night of our lives. Yeah. Him
Which
and like the
is,
hook-handed man and like
exactly.
totally. That's the book. It's like a hodgepodge of, misadventures and unfortunate events. Like it is
Yeah.
what it says it is.
I forgot about this. In the physical book, they have a little name
Yes.
plate for you to write your name. This one belonged to Ellen Cleveland. She wrote her name in all three of them.
Oh,
Ellen. Yeah,
yeah.
I'll find
Hope she learned something from this.
it. I hope she read all three.
And then put them down.
Yeah, and then went for like a walk in a field with daisies, you
Yeah.
know?
Yeah. It's important to take breaks and prioritize yourself.
I was really surprised just how they sort of dealt with we talked about this, the realities of losing a parent, both in like the technical stuff and within like the emotional stress. And the thing that I noted is at one point he says, you and I, of course, would never do this to any of our grieving acquaintances, but it is a sad truth in life that when someone has lost a loved one, friends sometimes avoid the person just when the presence of
Ooh.
friends is most needed. There are
Yeah.
little nuggets of that that I think just like the phrase I keep using on the show is that it's a gift, you know? It's like, it's a little just like put that in your pocket, you need it one day.
If that
And
lands with you, go with it. Like that's, yeah.
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 And those are things that especially I feel like kids' books maybe tend to get reread a lot more often than books for adults, maybe just in
Yeah.
part for the brevity and also just the age groups and having a smaller mind because you're still a baby. But I think that is something, and these books in general as a whole have a watch the award on the second, third, fourth, fifth read.
Yeah, and it's good to come back to it. It's good to like revisit, chew on it again. I do think that reading it again, I learn. I kind of was able to do like AP lit with
Yeah.
it a little bit and like get so about like that type of stuff too. But yeah, it's a really good reread. It doubles as like a good first read. Like at face value, it's eventful. Like there's, a typical structure. But then, yeah, there's always stuff to be gotten from it. It's
Yeah.
yeah. I'm glad overall you enjoyed your read.
Oh, I did. Oh my gosh, I had such fun. Oh yeah, it just like makes these things so real. Violet imagined sleeping beside Count Olaf and waking up each morning to look at this
Oh,
terrible man.
yeah. Like
Gosh dang
yeah,
it.
that's like so Sex in the City. Like that's like for the adult person who's like
Yeah.
out there making choices about their life, like that sort of thing. It's yeah.
Yeah, it.
I don't remember my child self reading that line, but I now reading it, I'm like, yeah, like take that. That's a gift, as you said. Like
Yeah.
there's a lot there.
Such a good book. I was so glad to revisit it. I'm going to listen to all the audiobooks.
Yeah, I'm like about to turn on the Netflix thing and just like
Yeah.
see what that's about and in a dark way. But I do think I need more Tim Curry reading the books for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just he's delicious.
Yeah.
I don't know how to, I love on Flop Soup the like sound effects that you guys play.
Oh,
I love
thank
it
you.
so
Yeah, we've
much.
built a
It
nice little soundboard.
reminds me of like the suit, and
Yes. So
he
meaty, like that thing. Yeah.
isn't that one of them? So delicious. Is that a
Oh,
different show
yeah.
I listen to?
That's us. That is Fergie going like Fergalicious, but yeah.
Oh.
That's Fergie
That's how
herself.
I feel about Tim Curry.
So delicious. You could also do t -t -t taste it, taste it. Yeah, it's so delicious indeed.
Any other like big takeaways that you think you saw this time that you didn't last time, ways that your perspective maybe changed on it?
I do think like I mean besides the like the marrying a 14-year-old thing
Yeah.
that I wasn't like like aware of at the start, I think like the I mean just the messaging about like how the role that kids play in society and like where they can like it is important to see the world from like a young person's perspective, and it's this constant like messaging of like, oh, if you're older, you are someone who is should be trusted more, should be like looked to for advice more, should be, you know, the decision maker in these events more. Like those types of messages are really the parts that I came away with more this time. I also was so like, have you read that thing that's like the girl with the ribbon around her neck? That's like, yeah, I was so like, ribbon girl, what does that mean? I was like really trying to like put together like what if that's like an intentional type of like borrowing from that old story, but I don't know if it where she like pulls a ribbon and her head falls off, but and Violet puts the ribbon on and it gets her head together. I don't know. It's just
No, I feel like it
thinking
must be. I
something.
don't know what,
Because
like,
that's such a gothic story, and this is such a gothic story. I'm like, there has to be some type of intention there,
it is.
but
There, I feel like we should all know who wrote that. Who wrote that? I feel
right? I
like
think a lot
my,
of people might have like redone that, and like I know like there was like a
Was
yeah,
it
I it's been
Carmen
like
Burana
that's where
is,
I first read
I
it,
think
and
so,
then I
yeah,
heard
me
that it's
too.
like a version of it in all these ways. But I'm like, so I love that one. I love like the yellow wallpaper, like those like little stories that invented feminism type of things.
Exactly. I feel like he has to know that. I mean, even their the Baudelaire name is a like really famous French poet that I
Yeah.
think, here's the thing, his Wikipedia page didn't give me at a cursory brief scan what I was trying to find out, which is I feel like he had interesting ideas about death. I don't know where I'm getting that, what corner of my mind saved that little amount of information about the poet Baudelaire. But I think he had some interesting ideas about death. And I just feel like it's that is a choice, like Edgar Allan Poe. I don't get it, but I know you did it on purpose, so I'm just saluting because
Yeah.
I see it. I
He did a great job building the ambiance
Oh
and the
my
vibes
gosh.
and the overall gothic scene of this
The way you
whole
described it as
shindig.
London is so perfect.
It's so like foggy London town, like dark alleys, like Jack the Ripper around every
Like
corner
the
type of
river.
feeling, you know? Like you just feel like there's no safe place.
Lousy Lane.
Lousy Lane.
The
I mean, that's the thing that really left me with some vocab were just the titles alone, like the ersatz elevator, the austere academy, like lacrimonious lake or something. It was just, you know, beautiful.
Would you consider it required reading?
I really would. If you're not going to read all of them, I recommend like at least the first three or four because you really hit that stride of what the stories are about. And I do think like seeing these kids like figure out a way out of these like really treacherous scenarios that keep hounding them is something that's really good for kids. I don't necessarily think that like, you know, Count Olaf marrying the 14-year-old like is a great thing, but I do think because it's framed like the villain is doing this, like it's also like, okay, yes, kids, watch, be skeptical of old guys who want to hang around young girls. That makes sense. And I do think it's required. I think it's like a good balance to all the like slop that gets thrown to like young readers today. Not that it's all slop, but like there's a bunch of like here kids, you know, like Cocomelon, whatever. But
It's
like
like you
throw
said,
in a
it's got
little
some
bit of
meat to
this.
it.
Yeah, there's something to chew on. There's a good message at the end of like being industrious, relying on yourself, and being skeptical of your elders sometimes when they deserve it.
If you know a young person
It's
and
punk.
Halloween is coming up and you see them buy a wishing well, give them this book.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, if you see like three people going trick-or-treating, it might not be the Heim sisters, it could be the three Baudelaire children. So, but yeah, I required reading for me, for sure. For my kid,
Absolutely.
for whatever down the line, for my dog.
Baby can.
Baby. I love that it was in one of those free libraries, though. I'm obsessed with that. That's so funny. And I just love like the narrative of like, oh, like I'm a mom who just like plucked these out of a free library and like gave it to my kid, and then like there you go. That's how this type of book should be passed
Exactly,
down,
with
you know,
the
like
meta
through.
narrative.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They feel
It
like
should be
things that are
found.
passed on. I guess that's all I have to say. Is there anything you'd
Amazing.
like to plug?
Definitely listen to Flop Soup. We have a really good time. If you ever have flops in the book world to tie in, come on the pod, talk to us about them. We've done like book talk as like Basically, our podcast is like we talk about like flops in culture and like topical stuff, bit of a, like a chat show about culture, but we also try to have some structure and some fun games and quizzes. But yeah, if there's ever anything in the media world that's in the book world that's flopping for you, let us know. We would love to gab about it. We just love talking about that kind of stuff. So definitely stream Flop Soup, download wherever you get your pods. This podcast is so great. It's such a great premise. It's so fun. Thank you for having me. Love it.
Thank you so much to Justin for bringing this extremely fun book back into my life. I'm listening to the fourth audiobook right now. Go listen to Flop Soup every Friday. It's so good. And our next episode, I'm recording in 4 hours with Georgia Shank. She's coming back. We are doing Airhead by Meg Cabot. And I'll just tell y'all, you should read that book. That book is a wild ride. Okay, I'll see you soon. My name is Erin Bowles. You can find me everywhere at Erin R. Bowles. The R stands for raccoon. Why not? All right, thank you so much for listening. Bye.